Welcome, everyone, to another episode of For the Love of Cinema. My name is Grayson Maxwell, and I'm joined by both of my hosts this time.
Hey, everyone, it's Nick Morris.
And it's me, Roger Stillian.
Nick, you want to tell the fan base where you were last week?
Oh, man, I was down a deep, dark hole, and I finally made my way out. I didn't have a ladder or anything, so it was pretty tough. But I'm back, baby.
Did you rub any lotion on yourself? Oh, man.
Rub some lotion on his skin.
I mean, I'm just asking. I don't want to make fun of you because you might have been victimized.
I mean, look, if it happened, it happened. We'll just get past it. We'll move past it.
Try it like Joe Dirt.
He's like, no, man, no. He's a nice man.
You got my auto trader.
That movie is much funnier than people give it credit for.
The first one is, sure.
Mm-hmm. Joe Dirt. All right, guys, so what's been going on this past week?
Oh, man, I don't know. Nothing too big for me. What about yourself, Roger?
Well, I got a story about how I spent my weekend. Most people don't know, we usually record these on Sunday nights. How I spent my weekend was, I was actually in the mighty sunny city of Cleveland, Ohio, where there was no sun the entire time I was there. Me and the missus went to the house from Christmas Story. You know, Ralphie, you'll shoot your eye out. They have it's in a little neighborhood up there. It's a little mini museum and a tour that you go to. It's actually very, very cool. Only about 10, 11 bucks a person, so I actually recommend it. There's a gift shop, all kinds of crazy things.
How busy was it? Like, how was the crowd?
You know, we went on a guided tour of the house and the museum, and it starts 10 or quarter after every hour. Ooh. And there was a good 40 people in our group.
Jeez,
and it was pouring down rain outside.
No, hold on. Wow. 40 people in your group?
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell did they fit all those people in the house?
Well, I mean, you walk through it and, like, you know, it's like a living room. You fit 40 people in a living room pretty easily if you really think about it. And, I mean, it's not a small house by any means, but it's smaller than you might think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You realize, and they talk about how much they actually shot on a soundstage. So,
wow.
That's pretty cool. It is laid out exactly like it was. The guy that bought it dumped a whole bunch of money in it to make sure it's identical to what it's supposed to be. So, That's pretty cool. Definitely some cool memorabilia there if you're into that, spending too much money on those kind of things. But, you know, they got to make profit somehow. They actually run a 5K up there every December, like the two weekends before Christmas, which is actually kind of cool. People dress up in Christmas outfits and go run a 5K around the neighborhood. So maybe, I thought that was pretty nifty.
Maybe so. A pink bunny costume.
Oh, there might have been. Dude, how about that pink bunny costume for an adult? Cost $100.
What?
100.
Are you kidding me?
No, not one bit. You can get the gun. You can buy Daisy Red Ryder, which is not, because you can't get the one that they sell or that they talk about in the movie, because apparently it only existed for that movie. Okay. I didn't know that, because you can't get a Daisy Red Ryder that has a compass and a sundial in the handle and a stock, which it absolutely has. They never sold. There were six of those were made. So,
probably for the movie, all props.
All for props. Four of them have known whereabouts. One of them is in their museum, so that's nice. Actually pretty cool. But yeah, you can buy a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun. It's a cool $79.99, which I'm pretty sure is what you pay for it at Walmart.
There, yeah. So. I thought they were like $30. $29.99.
I'm sorry, as an adult man, I haven't bought a Daisy Red Ryder BB gun in a while. This may or may not surprise you.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But
yeah, that was definitely a fun trip. You know. Support Cleveland tourism, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or not, I don't care if you go to Cleveland.
I will say one of my favorite things in Cleveland is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it is an excellent thing. And
that's like Americana at its best, too. Yeah. Like, that's one thing that we have, like, no other country really.
You know, so that is a really fun thing to go to. That's a whole day trip, too, if you do it right. It's 5 or 6 hours in there, for real. I was in there, last time I was in there was a couple years ago, the year after it was the year they opened the whole Beatles section.
Mm.
Wow. Wow.
There is some
spend some money on that, too.
You do. It is not cheap to go there. Also, don't buy stuff from that place either.
They have a strict no photo policy.
They're pretty hardcore about it.
Oh, I'll bet to the, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that's
one of my favorite exhibits in there is the Pink Floyd exhibit. So.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. Absolutely check that
Fantastic.
Out. Oh, so Grayson, what did you do this weekend? Anything?
Worked a lot. I have several jobs. So, balancing work life. Getting all my movies watched, taking all my notes, writing the episode. It takes a lot of my work week. This week I was able to. Oh, you know what I did watch? I saw some movies on Netflix recently that I watched. I watched. What did I? It's a movie with Kevin Costner. It's a horror. It's called The New Daughter.
Hmm.
I don't know if you saw it on
Never heard of it.
Maybe it's on Amazon or Netflix. It's on one of them. It is the dumbest horror movie.
Now, how dumb is it?
I mean, I've seen some really bad horror movies, too.
Well, I mean, but this it actually starts out okay. It's about him and his family. His wife and him get a divorce, and he ends up with the kids. And he moves them out to a smaller suburb of a much bigger city in the south. And there's this burial mound outside their house.
Oh, God.
And, like, his daughter starts being, like, possessed by it. And it's how the movie plays out. I was so disappointed. I thought for sure, that was a first draft. No one ever did rewrite something. Like, that was it. Like, someone wrote it, finished it. Here, shoot this. Like, almost, it's almost laughable. It's,
are you almost off the script? We're shooting.
The ending is appalling, and I don't like movies that end with a very negative, with, like, the last survivor standing there and the thing just creeping up behind him. I don't like that. What are we left with?
Yeah.
Why do we go through that struggle?
Yeah.
Why do you, I mean,
I don't know. I know what you're saying, though, about the movies that end with a negative taste in your mouth. The one that really sticks out in my mind, and I know it's not a horror movie by any means, and God, then this is on the tip of my tongue. What's the fisherman movie with Clooney and Wahlberg where they get, their boat goes down, they all die? What movie is that?
Oh, White Squall?
No,
not White Squall.
The Greatest Storm, or...
Perfect Storm.
Perfect Storm. Yeah. Right, that was a big movie.
That
back
was a
2001.
Huge movie, yeah. And then they all died at the end, and I'm sitting in the theater going, God, damn it.
Okay, if you're mad, you haven't seen it, 17-year spoiler.
From 15 or 16 years ago. Everyone dies, okay?
And then you're just like, oh, well, if it's a true, is that a true story?
It is a true story.
Well, true stories are different, but bad horror movies with Kevin Costner are not true stories.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the thing. True stories where everybody dies, how true is it? Who's telling that story, bro? That's Inception.
When someone says that is, when I think about every time someone says that is the Pirates of the Caribbean, when he's locked in the 2003, the first one, and the pirates that he's locked away with in Port Royal, they're like, I heard there's no survivors. And he goes, no survivors? Where do the stories come from? I'm like, hey, that's a good question.
Ooh. Great question.
That's a good question. Who, Jack Sparrow.
Who wrote this book, huh? Who did that? That's what you got to think about.
I watched some good movies over on Netflix this week.
And apparently some bad movies, too.
I also watched Accepted. And I don't care what you say, the movie is hilarious.
Yeah. Wait, like the Jonah Hill?
Justin Long?
Okay,
wow,
I like that.
The South Harmon Institute of Technology.
And where Columbus Short keeps making, like, statues with, like, big wooden dicks and all that. Okay. That movie's funny.
I think that movie is so funny. And I just, there's this one part where there's people having a conversation in the foreground, and Justin Long is trying to open a trunk in the background. And you can see him, like, struggling, and he finally opens it, and it smacks him in the face, and he's on the ground. I'm laughing, but the camera doesn't cut away from what's going on here. This continues in the foreground. And, like, he's just on the ground, like, writhing it there. I'm just laughing so hard. The movie's funny. I also watched, you know what? I watched Disturbia.
Oh, yeah.
I actually like that.
Yeah.
Movie. Like that's pretty good.
The reimagined Rear Window. Yeah, it's pretty. It's David Morse.
Ooh.
Probably one of
And I like that because I've met David Morse. I have a picture with him.
He's such a creepy dude in that movie.
Worked with him twice, actually. No, he is
you
super creepy.
You think he
creepy.
Remembers you?
What's that?
You think he remembers you?
He was not happy to take the picture, I will say. Oh, God. I worked with him on Concussion, and then I worked with him on Outsiders, and... At a rap party, I'm like, David Morse, you're one of my favorite actors. Will you please? He's like, make it quick.
Man.
Dang it.
Brutal. That's such
brutal.
If he does remember you, he hates you.
He just like, I like to think he just doesn't like taking pictures. But
think that he probably hates you.
You know my complex people hate you.
I know, that's right. It's going to bother the shit out of you. David Morse might actually hate you.
That's pretty average week. Watch tons of movies. Did some work. But... We are running long right now.
Yeah,
let's get into the box office.
There you go. Sorry about that. My fault.
Good conversation, though. And you know what? Something finally beat Jumanji.
Really?
And it's not what you'd expect, although there's nothing else that could have. Maze Runner.
Okay.
Dethroned Jumanji.
By how much? I bet you it's not by that much.
It's not that much. Actually, this week, it's not a whole lot, actually. Excuse me. I'm trying to get... It keeps backing up. One made 16.4... Maze Runner made 23.5, so it wasn't by a whole lot.
So about 30% increase over.
Yeah.
So that's not, I mean, I mean, we expected that. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Maze Runner should come out. There's nothing that should beat it. Now, whether next week, if Maze... Well, no. Something else will beat it.
Probably. No, I don't think anything will beat it next week.
No? You don't think? Well, not Winchester. No, never mind.
No, there's no chance. Winchester will... There's no chance.
Well, so maybe Jumanji comes back to number one.
I mean, that's always possible. It's
definitely in the...
I think Jumanji has... still on fire. I think Jumanji has a better chance of doing that than Winchester does of beating it.
Yeah.
Could be wrong.
Well, no, Hostels does go wide this week.
It does. It does. But it has,
maybe.
It doesn't have a great following yet, but it doesn't mean... It has not been wide, so, I mean, now that it's wider... Yeah.
So, maybe there's a chance. It's supposed to be pretty good, so we'll see how it plays.
$62 million budget. It's only brought... Well, only. It's brought in $105 worldwide. Good for Maze Runner. Especially for a third one.
Yeah. Well, it's the last one, isn't it? Isn't it the end of their little trilogy?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I sure hope so. I'm getting
sick of those things. Hate those movies.
What's that?
I don't hate those movies.
I don't hate them, but they're just... It's the same thing every time to me.
They're not very good.
I know you're saying, so is Transformers, Grayson. I know that. But yes, I'm not disagreeing with you in any way.
What were you saying, Nick?
I have yet to see the second one, the Maze Runner series.
But it's been on TNT all weekend, so try to catch it before you go to bed tonight. I mean, here's the thing with Maze Runner, and we'll talk about this more when we actually talk about the movie probably next week, is if you like the first one, you like the second one, and I'm assuming if you like the first and second one, you're probably going to like the third one. Mm-hmm. Or at least you're going to want to know how that story ends.
Yeah.
So, you have a built-in audience, two fairly successful films. It's already made its budget, plus $40 million. I mean, that's got to be a win for that kind of movie, right?
Well, I mean, the advertising budget is another... Well, yeah, so it's probably in the green right now. It should
be above money now.
By a few million.
Yeah, should be in the green now.
And that's just opening weekend, so, yeah.
That's where you want to be. Good for Maze Runner.
Jumanji number two.
What's its total? Is it
822. 800,
baby. Oh, man.
That's more than most movies, like, even big movies make.
What if this movie screws around and hits $1 billion?
Oh, man.
That'll be the oddest $1 billion player in the world. Like, that would be the weirdest... I don't think it's going to hit $1 billion.
We made the joke, what was it, last month?
Mm-hmm.
That will it hit 750? Yep. Will it hit 800? What'd you say it was? 820?
822, yeah.
822. Yeah. So 825 falls sometime this week, no doubt. A medium-sized normal weekend for it. It did $16 million. If it continues at that pace, it hits 850 in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah. You're not kidding. I mean, especially when people... Like the Oscar buzz and people start going back to the movies to watch. I mean, you never know. It could, it really could reach the.
I don't think it'll hit $1 billion. No, $150 million more is a lot of money.
That is a lot. It's several weeks.
I wouldn't be surprised if it hit nine.
Yeah. I'm surprised could at all. Hit actually, nine.
And listen, that's all pre DVD. You know, it's going to kill DVD sales.
Yeah,
at least $100 million.
It's going to crush in DVD sales for sure.
That's funny.
And rent. I'm sure. I don't know if they calculated into that like. Amazon like rentals, like you rent it for a 24-hour period or whatever.
I think you do. I think it does like, in some sort of thing. We talk about this with the great thing. It all factors it would have in to, somehow. Right?
Yeah. I mean, they get money for digital downloads. It has to.
And now one of the biggest jumps I've ever seen. It went from last week to being number 23. It's 3 this week. Hostiles.
Wow. Well, that's the power of going wide.
Yeah.
Yep.
How much money did it make?
It doesn't give a budget, but so far it only has a domestic gross of $12 million.
So it's not, just a hair of 12 million. It's not worldwide yet either. So,
but I'm sure it'll do. It's got Christian Bale. It's got Rosamund Pike. I mean, it's
got a good cast.
Yeah.
I'm anxious to see
Ben
that
Foster, movie. West Studio.
It ought to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I mean, I've been disappointed lately, so we'll see how things play.
And Greatest Showman, boys, it rose one standing, went from 4-5 to 4. $84 million budget, $259 million. Hey, dude,
that's the other movie I could have saw last night.
Yes. What's that?
I could have saw Greatest Showman last night again. Well,
you should have.
No, I shouldn't have. I have a job to do.
That's fair. That's fair. Greatest Showman. That's very respectable. And there's a bit of a piece of news I have that ties in with the musical. We'll get to that.
We'll talk about that.
Be in suspense till we get to that. But good for Greatest Showman.
Why don't you just rattle off the next 4 or 5 quick?
I'm going to.
I'm just saying, I know we're running long right now.
The Post, $50 million, brought in $83 million worldwide. No surprise there. I think it's
going to be done making money.
What's that?
It's got to be done making money.
Well,
right?
It's Oscar now. It's been nominated. People are going to watch it like crazy. 12 Strong, number 6. No budget given, but only brought in $35 million. That's, especially for your story, if it's selling out, $35 million is all it's made.
Talk about that here in a few, I think.
What's that?
The sellout conundrum.
That is odd. Like, just that's just not enough money for it selling out. But Den of Thieves, number 7. It went from 3 to 7. No budget given. Only brought in $28 million. But it only has a domestic gross. I can see that movie probably wouldn't be a foreign hit at all. But
yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about foreign hit.
Shape of Water, number 8. No budget given, although it has received an Oscar nomination for Best Picture. So
how about it has the most Oscar nominations of everything?
It's crushing.
13. 13 oh, Oscar noms.
What's the most ever won?
I don't know.
Return of the King and by Titan, was it 13?
What didn't win? It's 10. It's higher than 10, though, right?
No, they both won the same amount. I don't remember.
I know it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a ton, but... Yeah, so I mean, what if it wins all 13? That'll be a record.
Yeah,
that's right.
That'd be remarkable.
That's pro fish monster sex. It's
not fair.
Did you not see Shape of Water yet,
no.
Nate?
Well, oh, man.
Spoiler alert.
It's time. It's actually.
You should see the movie though. It's very, very good.
It's and for Sally Hawkins' performance, it doesn't get much better for female. Yeah. But Paddington 2, number 9, Roger's favorite movie of all time.
I could have went and saw that yesterday, too, by the way. Chose not to. Was not sold out. I told you that in a text message.
No, did you see it?
No. Hell no, I didn't.
$185 million, though. That's not a small number. Nothing to scoff at, either. And number 10, Padmavat. I just did not say that right. It must be a foreign movie.
Dude, that's the movie that was at the Cinemark.
Oh, Padmavat. Okay,
yeah,
there we go.
That's the movie that was at the Cinemark in Cleveland where I was for the sold-out shows.
It's showing in IMAX 3D as well, but it's only got domestic gross of $4.7 million. Not great, but...
It is what it is.
I'm sure foreign movies don't make tons either.
So what's coming down the pipe? What's up next week? Say we got, what, Winchester?
You're throwing me off, man.
I know. I'm directing this show
full
now.
Surprises.
So what came out this past weekend, January 26th, was The Maze Runner, Death Cure, and comes out this coming Friday, a week from... Well, yeah, 1 week till Winchester. February 9th, 50 Shades Freed. Peter Rabbit, 1517 to Paris. February 16th, Black Panther, Early Man. February 23rd, Every Day, Annihilation, Game Night. That'll be a big night. That'll be a big weekend for Game Night, I'm sure. March 2nd, Alpha, Death Wish, Red Sparrow.
All right, I have a question. I don't want to throw you off. What was the other movie that came out this week? Your Arctic Justice Thunder Squad?
Oh, I couldn't find much on. I
you have
find
been
it playing
throwing
anywhere.
That out there for, what, the last 3 or 4 podcasts?
Well, it is, but then I searched the trailer to like get a much better idea, and I couldn't... It said, like, came out, like, full movie available if you pay for it. So, like, it had to have been already
like
been out.
VOD, video on demand?
Yeah, I guess. But,
okay, interesting.
But there's a huge number of names attached to it. So, like, not just small names, huge names.
Okay.
So
just pay attention to that if it pops up on my...
I mean, it's certainly worth a watch. It's got more names than most movies do, but...
Okay.
Take a look for that. So just notable stuff. We have 3 weeks until Black Panther. I know people are excited about that. And Red Sparrow's been getting a lot of talk. You have just 5 weeks for that. And tying in with the whole greatest show and making great money, Steven Spielberg has... He's thrown the idea. He's not committed to it yet. Not confirmed. A remake of West Side Story. That's
interesting.
That's a Spielberg choice. Like when I first read that, I was like, no. And then I was like, actually, I could see him doing that.
Yeah, you could definitely see him taking that by the reins and working his magic. Obviously, or
how do you tell that story?
Yeah,
do you rewind it all the way back to the Sharks and the Jets, or you bring it up to 2018 and?
I would bring it. I wouldn't mess with what's already there. It's really good. I mean,
it's another shocker flash, news flash. West Side Story is a great story movie,
but then again, if you update it, you lose some of the. If you put it in today's world, you lose some of the magic that was
like when they have their sweet, finger clicking.
Yes.
Dance off. You think that turns into like a hip hop? You got served moment there.
I sure hope
Step
not.
Step up five. This happens
Spielberg
right there.
Spielberg won't let that happen. But it's a possibility that something really dumb could happen.
I'll make my own movie then. It will happen.
Well, one day it will.
Somebody's
going
to get stabbed at a street dance concert.
Jeez Louise.
War's going to break out. I don't know why you just shake that off. That could happen tomorrow.
I mean, yes.
That could be a documentary. Of what it's like to be in a dance troupe in a downtown LA. I don't know. None of that. That was not serious, by the way. Sorry, I'll stop.
We have some trailers we're going to get to in a little while, but first, we're going to talk about some Razzies. We have the full list of the Razzies and the full list of the Oscar nominations. This episode, I just want to run down so everyone can get just, I know you've all seen it, but so we can get it in our heads, and then we'll break it down in the next coming and upcoming weeks. But so the Razzies. I probably have more fun talking about the Razzies only because I think it is more fun to talk about the Razzies. I'm saying that in a serious tone. I think it is more fun to talk about the Razzies than the Oscars.
The Oscars have so much circumstance behind it. People take that stuff way too seriously.
Yeah. And as you can tell by the Oscars, by the Razzies, yeah. So.
Why do you think so? Is it because they take it a little bit more serious in the Oscars? Or
I don't think the same people that... I think the process is the same. I don't think, for instance, the nominations for Worst Picture, as we said before, Baywatch, Emoji Movie, 50 Shades Darker, The Mummy, and Transformers. We talked last week. I don't think The Mummy deserves that. I don't think Transformers deserves that. But, I mean, they're on the list.
Yeah.
So, but for the same reason why The Post got on, I'm sure Transformers is on this list.
Mm-hmm.
The Post isn't there. I don't think it has a chance in hell of winning Best Picture. I don't. I'm a little weirded out why Gifted's not on there. That's a hell of a movie.
Well, I mean, that comes down to the I like a movie, it should be good thing. I don't know.
Well, but that's also a hell of a movie.
No, it is. It is. It's a very excellent. I mean, it would be an award bait kind of movie, honestly. But yeah, got no love, man.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's circumstance behind what can and can't be nominated. I get that. I do. But so Worst Picture nomination just said we talked a little bit about that last week. Did you want to chime in about any of that? We mainly focused on The Mummy and Transformers last week. If you,
I mean, I didn't see the new Mummy. I mean,
but you heard the
I've heard
horribleness.
It's not great.
Yeah, and I've thought about watching it many times because I was a fan of the original.
It's not the same.
But yeah, that's what I keep hearing. So sorry, Tom Cruise.
Well, what's that?
Sorry, Tom Cruise.
I mean, he knew going into that it wasn't going to win Best Picture. So, Worst Actress. Now, this is kind of where it gets fun. Okay, so Katherine Heigl for Unforgettable, Dakota Johnson, 50 Shades Darker, which I hope 50 Shades wins all these awards.
It won't win them all, though.
Jennifer Lawrence for Mother, which I found odd.
Yeah,
Worst Actress, Jennifer Lawrence. We covered that. Did you see Mother?
I did not, but we're talking like Oscar-winning Jennifer Lawrence, right?
We're
talking like the woman that actually has already won an Oscar and is nominated for a Razzie.
It was, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's just being spiteful.
I don't know.
Jennifer Lawrence, Mother. Tyler Perry in Boo 2. I know it's going to make you happy.
Yeah.
You hate that movie.
Movie.
I hate that movie. And here's the one, Emma Watson in The Circle.
Well, that movie's pretty bad. Like,
it's not great, but
it's not pretty bad.
I don't think Emma Watson was bad in it.
There's no redeeming quality to her in that movie either.
I mean, listen, think about all the people you have on that list.
I'm just saying
there is not one of them that isn't a really high level person star though. They didn't.
Well, Katherine Heigl these days.
Okay, well, I mean, she used to be famous,
but used to be isn't now. So I'm saying, and Dakota Johnson. I mean, without 50 Shades, she's nobody except the daughter of someone big. So
fair.
Worst actor, and this is Tom Cruise, The Mummy.
Oh God.
Johnny Depp, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales.
I'm fine with that.
This one next makes me sad. Jamie Dornan, 50 Shades Darker. Jamie Dornan, hashtag, always my, what's his name? Christian, always my Christian. I actually like him as Christian Grey, but Zac Efron, Baywatch, which strikes me, I like
that. That makes me sad, though, because Zac Efron is like the best part.
Of Baywatch?
Of Baywatch.
He is. Well,
listen, you want to crap on that movie, fine. I won't ever fight you with that. But if you tell me that Zac Efron was bad in that movie, you got a problem.
I totally agree with that. And Mark Wahlberg in Daddy's Home 2 and Transformers The Last Night.
Wow, two nominations.
Two of his movies. Man, oh man. If you're saying Mark Wahlberg was the worst of Transformers, did you and I see the same movie? Because that's definitely not true.
I mean, you can't nominate the computer animated people.
Optimus Prime cannot be the worst actor.
I get it, but the girl
could. You get it?
Well, no, the girl couldn't because it's not a guy. But
no.
Anthony Hopkins, you know he was phoning that one in. He's like, just give me the paycheck. I'll do it. Fine.
He's like, okay, I'll stand on a cliff and mutter weird things. That's cool.
Worst supporting actor, Javier Bardem in Mother and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. He's better than that. Russell Crowe in The Mummy.
Also, Oscar winner.
That's the Russell Crowe in The Mummy, Josh Duhamel in Transformers, Mel Gibson, Daddy's Home 2. That one stings more than anything.
Wow, man.
Anthony Hopkins, Collide, and Transformers The Last Knight.
I feel like they're piling on your movie, bro.
Whatever, whatever. I don't really care.
What else we got? Anything
Worst Supporting Actress, Kim Basinger in 50 Shades Darker, Sophia Boutella in The Mummy, Laura Haddock, Transformers Last Night. I think she was the young girl.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn in Snatched. Never would have seen that one coming. And Susan Sarandon. What?
I didn't hate Snatched. I mean,
no, I didn't hate it. I just didn't like it.
I wouldn't look at it and be like, she's the worst actress
I've ever seen. No, I totally get that. And Susan Sarandon in A Bad Mom's Christmas. So,
man.
Okay, I want you to just clear your mind for 1 second.
Okay.
Here we go.
Be good.
Worst screen combo. Any combination of two characters, two sex toys, or two sexual positions. 50 Shades Darker. I thought that was hilarious.
That's pretty funny.
Any combination of two humans, two robots, or two explosions. Transformers The Last Night.
Yep. And they greenlit that other one, right? The Bumblebee story?
Yeah, that's happening. That's by different directors.
With John Cena? Isn't he in that?
It's a different director. It's a whole different tone.
I'm sure it'll be a whole different tone. I don't believe that for 1 second. Michael Bay ain't got his dirty hands up and all that.
Any two obnoxious emojis, the emoji movie.
Yep.
Johnny Depp and his worn-out drunk routine.
Oh, God. Nice.
Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales.
That's just mean-spirited.
It is. That's like making fun of a kid who has a disease on the playground in elementary school. Like, that's just aiming to hurt somebody. Tyler Perry and either the ratty old dress or worn-out wig in Boo 2, Madea Halloween.
I hope that wins.
Yeah,
What?
He said he hopes that wins.
Nick hates Tyler Perry's Boo 2.
I think Tyler Perry made one good thing in his life, and that's The Pains or whatever.
He's made a few good things, but like this, the Boo and Boo 2 are not among them.
What's that movie where he's like the secret agent? Alex Jones or Alex Wright or something?
Alex Cross.
Alex Cross. Alex Cross. Okay. I like that movie actually. It's not bad.
Okay, fair.
Check it out. It might broaden your Tyler Perry.
Worst remake, ripoff, or sequel? Baywatch, Boo 2, 50 Shades Darker, The Mummy, Transformers The Last Night. I have a feeling.
So it's basically everything that was nominated was a ripoff or a sequel, right?
I have a feeling Transformers is walking away with a lot of these awards.
Well, I mean, given its past history of the other four other movies, they have to clean up at the Razzies. Right? Michael Bay's last be like, $2
billion. Worst director, Darren Aronofsky, Mother, Michael Bay, Transformers, James Foley, 50 Shades Darker, Alex Kurtzman, The Mummy, Anthony Leonidas, I don't know if I said it wrong, The Emoji Movie, and one last category, worst screenplay, Baywatch, The Emoji Movie, 50 Shades Darker, Mummy, or Transformers.
Everything that was nominated.
Man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing I'm confused with, I didn't hate this movie, I didn't like it very much, the movie Mother, I didn't
hate that either.
There's a lot of hate for that in here, and I'm kind of surprised by that.
And you and I, we talked about, Nick and I talked about how weird the movie was.
It is weird.
Very, very weird. You said you didn't see it?
I did see it.
I forget what I was listening to, but I was listening to another podcast where they were saying about Mother, how it had deep meaning, but I think Javier Bardem was, his character was portraying God or something, and Jennifer Lawrence's character was portraying, I don't know.
That's one way to look at it. I've read those.
Yeah.
So, those are the Razzies. Have fun with those in your head. I feel like a lot of groups of friends just going to have fun and sitting around a table drinking, talking about whatever. I mean, it didn't really mean anything, but...
We will do real Oscar talk eventually, too, by the way.
Yeah, but no,
as we get closer to that.
The Razzies are going to phase out, but Oscar talk certainly will be.
We'll get
best, to okay, so now we're talking about the Oscars. Best Picture. Now, this is the official nomination list for everything. Best Picture, Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Now, the one that's weird to me is... And I have not seen it yet. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Same.
That one doesn't jive with the others, but The others are all very deserved of this award.
Is it just me or does it feel like there's a lot nominated this year? Like for Best Picture. Well, they seems like there's more than usual.
Right? They just kicked it up. Kicked it up to 10 not that long ago. Yeah. It was a few years ago, right?
What's he mean? Do you just artificially fill out that list because you have to have 10 on there? Or?
I remember when I was younger, it was 5 for a long time. Yeah,
that's what I thought. And then, too.
I mean, I don't know, but lead actor Timothy Chalamet, Call Me by Your Name, Daniel Day Lewis. That's an awesome choice. Phantom Thread, Daniel Kaluuya, Get Out, Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour, Denzel Washington, Roman J. Israel, Esquire. Boys, pick out your right now if you had to pick one.
I don't know.
I haven't seen Darkest Hour yet, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen that or Denzel's movie.
The only one of these I haven't seen yet is Darkest Hour, but I'm Denzel, he's so good at what he does, man.
Very true.
And Roman J. Israel, he was amazing, so. What do you think?
I mean, I like that movie. It's very good. But I didn't look at it going, yeah, he's getting an Oscar for this. That's not a knock on that movie or how he plays that. It just never had crossed my mind.
Is there any actors on that list that you think should have, or any actors on that list or not on that list that you think should have?
Mark Wahlberg, Mark Transformers.
Chris Evans and Gifted, I thought. Mm-hmm.
That's a damn good movie, dude.
That if you haven't seen it, you're missing out. Gifted. Look
we're
up
just going to keep hammering away every couple of weeks. We're going to talk about Gifted until somebody either tells us to shut the hell up about it or you actually watch the movie.
All right, lead actress Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
I want to see that because she won the Golden Globe for that.
Frances McDormand?
She did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Golden Globes, they have like an insight into the Oscars.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't got to see that movie yet, so hopefully.
Margot Robbie, I, Tonya, Seorzy, Ronan, Lady Bird, which you loved. Mm-hmm. Meryl Streep, The Post, which you nailed on the head when you talked about The Post.
Oscar bait, man. Supporting, get her nominated again. Why not?
Supporting actor, Willem Dafoe, The Florida Project. Woody Harrelson, 3 Billboards. Richard Jenkins, Shape of Water. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World. That's weird that he's getting nominated for that because he came in so late. Sam Rockwell, 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Two supporting people from the same movie.
Right.
That's not a usual occurrence.
Mm-hmm. All right, supporting actress, Mary J. Blige, Mudbound, Allison Janney, I, Tonya, Leslie Manville, Phantom Thread, Laurie Metcalf, Lady Bird, Octavia Spencer, Shape of Water. There's no surprises in any of these lists so far. They're all very good at what they do and deserving of it.
Not really.
Now, director, this is a big category, Dunkirk, Nolan, Jordan Peele, Get Out, Greta Gerwig, Lady Bird, Paul Thomas Anderson, Phantom Thread, Guillermo for The Shape of Water.
All deservingly.
Very solid choices, all of them. Animated feature. See, this is what I love. Animated feature, I love The Boss Baby. Oh my goodness. The movie was so funny. That's animated feature, Boss Baby, Tom McGrath, Ramsey and Nato, The Breadwinner, Nora Tuami, Anthony Leo, Coco, which I think has got this in the bag.
Yeah.
Lee Unkrich and Darla K. Anderson, Ferdinand, Carlos Saldana, and Loving Vincent, with a list of names. These are names are very tough to pronounce, so.
We'll just skip over that. That movie got nominated.
Okay. Animated short, Dear Basketball, Garden Party, Lou, Negative Space, Revolting Rhymes. I'm not reading names anymore.
You know what didn't get nominated for animated short? That awful piece of shit that was in front of. The Olaf thing.
Olaf Frozen Adventure.
Like that made I was happy when it ended because it made me sad.
What?
It was so bad.
Yeah, it didn't forward the Frozen lore at all. It didn't introduce the villain. We talked about it about
minutes. Combine more toys.
Yeah, that's exactly what it. 20 minutes. Which that's why they cut it off though. People were complaining so much.
Oh yeah.
Adapted screenplay, Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, Mudbound.
It's interesting to see Logan get an adapted screenplay because of the story that it came from with graphic novels. So actually plays that role pretty well.
Yeah. To
see if it actually gets something.
The more I think about that movie, the more I like it. I wasn't a huge fan of In the Pocket. If you remember, that's the one we did live. Wasn't a huge fan of then. The more I think about it, the more I enjoy it.
If you go back, I think with Logan, and I don't want to harp on it a whole lot. If you go back, it's on rotation right now on one of the premium channels. And I've been watching it, and every time it's on, and I see it I pick up more of the actual movie, of what type of movie it actually is. Mm-hmm. So
it's better than...
The more I watch, the more I like it. It's one of the movies that it grows on you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Original screenplay, The Big Sick, Get Out, Lady Bird, Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That movie's got a lot of nominations.
Do you guys watch Big Sick?
I haven't.
I have not. That's on my list.
Yeah. I think that movie is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been hearing.
Check it out.
I've heard great things about it. Cinematography. This is one of my favorite categories as well. Blade Runner, which I think was beautiful.
I think that, oh my goodness.
I hope Roger Deakins wins. Mm-hmm. God, he deserves it. Not to say that people from Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Mudbound, or The Shape of Water don't, but damn it, Blade Runner is a movie that to me is so far beyond brilliant. It's almost like brimming out of it. Like,
are you surprised that that's the only thing really that Blade Runner got?
I am.
I
legitimately am surprised. Yes, I thought there would have been more.
Something I don't know about Best Picture, but I thought there would have been a little bit more like potential hardware its way than. And just all the visual stuff, which is fine. It absolutely deserves it. So,
yeah. Best documentary feature: Abacus, Small Enough to Jail, Faces, Places, Icarus, Last Men in Aleppo, Strong Island. I don't know much about any of those. So, see, these next few category people claim to have passionate, but like, how could you possibly know so much about a lot of these quiet categories? Best documentary short subject: Edith and Eddie, Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405, Heroin, Knife Skills, Traffic Stop. Best live-action short film, DeKalb Elementary, The 11 O'Clock, My Nephew Emmett, The Silent Child, Wotu Wrote All of Us. Hmm. Best foreign-language film, A Fantastic Woman, The Insult, Loveless, On Body and Soul, The Square. Film editing, Baby Driver, Dunkirk, I, Tonya, Shape of Water, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I really hope Baby Driver takes this one.
I think
the first 5 minutes.
It's got a real good shot of it. I mean, its nomination is well deserved if it doesn't win. So, it's also got the sound editing one too, doesn't it?
For Baby Driver. Sound editing, Baby Driver, Blade Runner 2049, Dunkirk, also deserved. Shape of Water, Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Well, you know it's going to get all the effects stuff because,
of course, listen,
you love that movie. It's cinematography. I'm actually surprised it didn't get cinematography either because there are some really excellent scenes in that. So, you know, it's going to get
space.
Infinite black.
Infinite black.
Sound mixing: Baby Driver, Blade Runner, Dunkirk, Shape of Water, and Star Wars: The Last Jedi. That's sound mixing is one thing I can see Baby Driver winning as well.
Sure.
I
mean, yeah.
And I certainly hope it does. Production design: Beauty and the Beast, Blade Runner 2049, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Shape of Water. And on Dunkirk, Nathan Crowley, I actually worked with him. He did all Nolan stuff. I talked to him on Dark Knight Rises. I worked on that. So I actually know that guy. Makes it more personal for me. Original score: this is another category I love. Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, Shape of Water, Star Wars: The Last Jedi, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Original song: Mighty River from Mudbound, Mystery of Love from Call Me By Your Name, Remember Me from Coco, Stand Up for Something from Marshall, and This Is Me, Greatest Showman.
Fantastic song.
I don't think that one has a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it does, only because I love that movie and it's a hell of a song.
You think Remember Me could win it from Coco?
Coco, I'm pretty sure, has Best Animated.
Yeah.
Feature locked, so I don't know if they'll give it to that too. I don't know. Makeup and Hair, Darkest Hour, Victoria and Abdul, and Wonder.
Hmm.
So I'm really excited for that one. Costume design: Beauty and the Beast, Darkest Hour, Phantom Thread, Shape of Water, Victoria and Abdul. And I'm sorry I'm not reading the names because these people deserve to be recognized, but when we get closer to Oscar season, we'll mention these names a million times. And visual effects: Blade Runner 2049, Guardians
locked,
of the Galaxy.
Locked up.
What's that?
Visual effects. Blade Runner locked up.
Well, Guardians, has a somewhat of a shot, but Kong, Skull Island, Star Wars, and War for Planet of the Apes.
I actually like that movie. I just watched it again. Planet of the Apes.
That movie's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
War Planet of the Apes.
That whole trilogy is actually
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's a solid trilogy. Now, there's been rumblings of a fourth one.
I'd rather not see that.
I just leave it where it is?
Yeah, yep. I think it is.
I think it's a great end to Caesar's story. Just let it go. Mm-hmm. Like,
now, listen, there can be more stories in that world. That's fine, but it can't have Caesar in it anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Well, the thing about Caesar, what happened, in my opinion, Caesar deserves that
closure.
That closure, that peaceful way he went out. Like, I mean, it's just, sorry for the spoiler, but he deserves that.
Yeah.
He deserves that little small measure of happiness he found, and because he'd been through war his whole life.
It was a fitting end.
Mm-hmm. A fitting end indeed. Those are your nominations. And I apologize, we didn't mention a lot of these names that actually mean more than the films associated because the people did the work.
We will talk about that.
Yeah. When depth. We get more closer to it, we'll talk about that. Now, those are all your nominations. I hope you get passionate about the Oscars when you come closer. Watch some more movies. Really put your, you know, really jostle them around in your head. See what you can come up with. So, boys, what did you think of... Actually, I want to talk about, just for a few minutes, Forever My Girl. Before we talk about 12 Strong. As you know, big fan of the romantic movies.
Of course.
This song, or this movie was... If a country song had ever been transformed into a movie, this was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's about... It is... It starts on a wedding day of a very young couple. She's excited. All of her bridesmaids are in her room. And her wedding party enters, and one of the guys tells her that the groom has fled. He's no longer, he's left, he's gone.
Strong start to your love story.
Cold feet, man.
It destroys her. Well, then we pick up, 8 years later. She's living life. She has a daughter. She has her own shop. You know, she's happy again. And when we pick up with the guy who skipped out, he's now a huge country star, Liam Page, and he is loving life. He's making tons of money. He's one of the biggest stars in the world.
Wait, and that's the guy that ran out on her?
Guy that ran out on her. Which in every other...
She lost her dude and that paycheck. Damn. Ice cold, bro.
In every other... Which it does one good thing was, in the beginning, at the after party, he wakes up some girl... A lot like Tony Stark wakes up with that girl in the beginning of Iron Man, doesn't know her name.
Take out the trash.
And she's jumping up and down because she's a child. Mm-hmm. And he's like a huge star. She's like, get up. And she's jumping up and down on his cell phone that is from 2002. Like, it's a flip phone. You have to put the antenna out. It's got duct tape on it. It's and of course, he kicks her out because he broke his phone. He runs all over town barefoot for someone to repair it because he listens to one message. And as soon as he hits play every time... The sound fades out and you don't hear the message. Although by the time you get to hear the message, you know exactly what the message is.
Oh.
But that's one of the saving graces of... Because so often in these movies, when this happens, the crux that rests on, well, I did this for all these years, is usually never strong enough for me to believe it. But mm-hmm. he kept the one message from her for all these years. And... Like, that's the one thing... Like, no, of course I've been in love with you. I've kept this phone because I couldn't... This is my phone because I kept this message. Now, why he didn't get another phone because he's a millionaire.
Right, I'm going to step in here.
Go ahead.
I haven't seen this movie. I won't see this movie anytime soon. I'm going to ask one question. This dude is a big-time country music star, right?
Why, didn't he have an iPhone or something?
No. Well, not even. I don't care what kind of phone he has. He shouldn't have a flip phone with a stick-out antenna.
Which he still uses.
Hey, man, transfer your voicemail to the new phone. It's got Bluetooth. Click the button.
I didn't write this. I don't know.
You know what? Who did write this? I want to tell them that he's a... Never mind. He's an idiot.
It is the same one who... Same woman who directed it.
Good.
Bethany Ashton Wolfe.
Bethany, call in. I got some questions about your movie.
Heidi McLaughlin. Two women, if you notice, wrote the screenplay. That's cool to see women directing and writing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't happen very often in the film industry as much as it should.
It's happening more... You know, we've seen in the past 2 years,
Wonder
Woman, like a couple other good movies, that, you know, it's coming. And, you know, we're getting some pretty decent movies.
Doesn't change the questions that need answered.
The answer right now by Roger Stillian.
I don't care who wrote it.
Just to recap real quick, and then we'll move on to 12 Strong. Just to recap real quick. Some other thing I like about this is the way they set some of the camera up during some of the scenes when this girl is still obviously in love with this guy, and it's so obvious. and it's I loved it. I'm a sucker for romance, mm-hmm. and that kind of it pulls me in. So you won't be wasting your time with this movie. That's what I want to say with that. But it's also this one scene when he goes into a flower shop and a little girl comes running in, and of course she looks a lot like him, and he starts and the girl is trying to get her out of the get the daughter. She doesn't want to expose the daughter to the father because he ran out on them.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm sorry, you didn't bring that up.
I'm getting to it, and it's. All of a sudden, he just stops the conversation and gets down to her level and says, "What's your name?" It's his mother's name. And how old are you?
Oh, man.
And the age fit. Like, that. And I, to light me, bulb. I'm a sucker for that movie.
This movie just got a whole lot of light bulb.
Alex Rowe plays the guy, and Jessica Rowe from Happy Death Day is the best thing in this movie by far. She mm-hmm. does, she acts circles around everyone else. Even the little girl, who is great, but she's no Alex or Jessica Rowe. So I love this movie. I would watch it again on Netflix, but I'm a huge sucker for romantic comedies. Mm-hmm. So
you liked it?
I really enjoyed it.
Okay.
I did. But then again, I say with a grain of salt because I love romantic movies.
That's okay. I mean, listen, it's okay. I'm used to it at this point. I mean, if you liked it, you liked it. They want to tell you you didn't like a movie.
All right. Before we get to 12 Strong, thank you, Nick, for bringing up my attention. Just a few trailers I want to talk about. I mean, you got me so like pressed for time now.
I push you forward a little bit.
So we're very quickly, Winchester by director two brothers, the Spirit brothers, with Helen Mirren and Jason Clarke. That comes out this Friday. What are you guys excited for it? It looks generic.
Yeah, it's your average ghost story, I'm guessing.
Or one of them, or like. Here's a ghost house. Here's a ghost story.
Yeah,
I mean it's no. Annabelle Creation's the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're in a ghost story. You're in a haunted house. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Robbie?
I have no real desire. I not really care about this movie a whole lot from what I've seen. The cool thing is it's a true story. Well, I guess maybe that'll help it out a little bit because it's got actual stuff to pull from. But from everything that I've seen, this new trailer came out was attached to. One of the movies I saw was attached to the post when I saw it. Didn't exactly be like, yes, got to go see Winchester now. Didn't exactly drive that.
They're really pushing it too. It's been on most movies I've seen in the past couple of weeks. Like Winchester has been this. Like they're really pushing Winchester, but
which is not necessarily a good thing.
No, it's not. No, it's not necessarily a good thing at all. But I mean, it's not a terrible thing. But never know. And Hostiles, which we talked about before, by Scott Cooper. This is also every week goes a little wider. So hopefully in your area you'll be able to see it soon. Christian Bale, Rosamund Pike, Scott Shepard. I'm actually really excited about the movie.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because I've met the director. I drove him around for an entire show of, I mean, it's not a great movie, but Out of the Furnace. But, like, just to hear how he talked about writing characters and some of his thought process was it changed the way I thought about things in my writing. So mm-hmm. I'm really excited to see what he can do with a bigger budget, you know, again, Christian Bale. Christian Bale's his guy, you know?
They're buddies, apparently, so keep doing movies together.
I'm actually really excited to see Hostiles, too. So, yeah, I think that'll be one I'll probably take my dad to see. Actually, it's right up his alley.
And Dear Dictator by director Lisa Addario and Joe Syracuse, Michael Caine, Katie Holmes, Jason Biggs, Seth Green, and Odiah Rush. What do you guys say? I know you just watched that trailer recently.
It looks interesting to say.
I think it looks hilarious.
There looks like it's going to be some funny moments. I mean, it's a girl having a letter correspondence with a dictator. So
yeah, but it's cool that he's not like cutting off people's heads with a machete. He's Michael Caine, being cool. So that let's be honest, like he's what I said an accurate way to look at it. Like, oh, it's Michael Caine. Like I understand Michael Caine's the actor. Playing the character, but
no, he's just Michael Caine at this point. he's not acting anymore. He's just living. No, actually, I thought this you know the premise behind this movie. I was like, whatever. Then I actually saw the trailer, and it might actually be funny. And it's got Michael Caine. It's got Michael Caine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got Jason Biggs in it, who's almost unrecognizable at this point.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look different. Look, his claim to fame is. Been dead for, like, as far as the franchise goes, it's been gone for a long time.
Is he still the guy that had relations with the pie?
He's the pie guy.
He's the pie guy.
He never will get out of it. I mean, they bring that up when, was it Jay and Silent Bob strike
back?
Across the room.
You're the pie fucker.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I love that.
So. I mean, he does have a really, he does have that niche claim to fame, but like as far as being people, do kids even know who Jason Biggs is? Like young kids who watch like 16, 17, 18 year olds now?
That's interesting.
Do they care about Jason Biggs?
Probably not.
Like we did when we were young because American Pie went out. I mean,
no, I'm sure they have somebody else that fits that role for them.
Fair. Well, those are some trailers to look forward to. I know Winchester is very soon. Hostiles is actually very soon we're going to talk about. And Dear Dictator comes out not too long, so look forward to those. Now, the focus of the episode, 12 Strong, should be America Strikes Back. There's a subtitle.
Riding Horses. Don't forget that.
What's that?
America Strikes Back, Riding Horses.
Riding horses and shooting guns in the air.
Right.
Oh, man.
Rah-rah.
So what do you guys think straight off the bat?
Okay, so I'll lead off on this one. So talking about 12 Strong, it's a story of the small group of soldiers that gets dropped into Afghanistan. They're the first strike back against the insurgents after 9/11, real short version. They team up with a dictator, literally meet up, well, not a dictator, a warlord, mm-hmm. I guess is a more accurate term. Meet up with a warlord, combine troops, he's got a couple hundred people, they've got 12, shocker, for 12 Strong. And they go about blowing some stuff up together. And for me, with this movie, you know, I'll straight off saying it right off the bat. I know it's not a great movie. Okay. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The reasons that I enjoyed it, like we talked about a little bit before we started off, Chris Hemsworth's character, Thor himself, it, to me, is by far the best part of this movie.
He's the strongest part.
Yeah. He's the strongest part of 12 Strong. It's not even close. To me, this is the best he's acted since mm-hmm. the movie Rush. So, and if you've never seen that movie, you should because it's awesome.
Rush is pretty good. I do agree with what you're saying, the best he's acted, because like in the Marvel movies,
he's just Thor.
Yeah. Well, he is Thor, but he also has an entourage of wonderful actors and actresses. But in this one, it's not that the other actors are bad, just the focus is on him.
Yep. Yeah. He's carrying the load. He is carrying it.
So I think you're right. I mean, this is the most he's had to stand out mm-hmm. in a long time. Yep. I mean, to me, it's like Snow White and the Huntsman. Like, he was so much better than Kristen Stewart.
Just light years. But, you know, I actually didn't consider Huntsman because he's actually pretty good in that movie, too.
I like that. I have it on my phone. I really
enjoyed it. It's a good movie. I really enjoyed, like, the first 5 minutes of this film when
America's getting blown up?
Yeah, well, it was jeez, Nick. Well, now, hold on, guys. Nick? It was very subtle how they played through with it, you know?
I did like the real news headlines we were getting, and kind of, like put you back.
CNN live with them as everything happened.
Put you back in 2001, or, like, even before that, leading up to. Exactly. Put you back. That was nice to see, like, kind of a lead up to it. I did like... The one thing I did like that I thought was, I did like the opening in a way how it, I liked it, the opening was real to me, and I'll tell you why, is because when you see all these men spending time with their families and then they have to go, their wives' reaction are what sold it for me is...
Like it's real?
Yeah.
It's real, and they're going on a dangerous mission. Like, their wives know, when his phone rings, he's gone for a while, it's a dangerous mission, I might not see him again. They don't know what, but, like, they're conditioned to know danger is coming.
Yeah.
And so...
They actually, multiple of the wives reference it, it's what it's like to be, like, the wife of a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they actually bring that straight up, it is what it is, because this is the life they chose.
Yeah.
And that's something you don't see a whole lot in those type of movies. You just kind of see him, like, kiss their family goodbye. Like Michael Shannon's character in this movie, which I actually felt like they wasted him a little bit for the role that he had.
I think you're probably right about that.
You know, his wife is pissed off at him that he's going back out.
So is his kid.
And that's okay. So if it didn't hurt you enough that his wife's mad at you, you know, 35 seconds later, she's like, "You have to tell the kid." And the kid strolls out into the garage, and he's like. He's just so
disappointed.
He's not mad. He's just disappointed.
He gave that double look, like, I'm not mad.
Yeah, it's what hurts the most.
Yeah.
The disappointment of a kid who's like 10 or 11 years old.
he looks at him, leaves the room. Michael Shannon says, "You know I love you."
Kid doesn't
respond. Turns back.
Yeah.
And then just keeps
walking. He doesn't respond. Just glares at him. Like, gives him the side eye.
I did like Michael Shannon in this. This is one of the few movies where he's not being a tool.
He's a very good actor.
Oh, he's wonderful. Oh, yeah. He is.
The other thing with the little kid scene, one more thing I want to say about it, is I actually watched this movie with my wife, and it was so painful for me in the theater. I just went, oof.
Oof. Oof indeed.
Bad.
Before we proceed any further, Chris Hemsworth, Michael Shannon, Michael Pena, David Nagaban. Sorry, David, I mispronounced. Navid Nagaban. Sorry, I mispronounced that. Jeff Stoltz, Austin Hebert, Austin Stowell, Ben O'Toole, Kenneth Miller, Kenny Seard, Jack Kessie, Rob Riggle, who actually doesn't play as big of roles
in the movie. Like I was going to mention that too, because I questioned when we first really got trailers for 12 Strong how he was going to play it. Mm-hmm. He's not in this movie a whole lot.
No, he's just one of the guys that sends them off, which I'm fine with. Because now, like, I totally buy that Rob Riggle could have been
somebody in that movie.
Involved in that, because, like, he didn't go. I don't think they would have. I don't think his testimony would have been if he was one of the soldiers that went.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the 12 guys.
Yeah.
But. And all their wives are, of course, breathtakingly gorgeous. Like, women that are just like, wow, are you kidding me?
Well, Hemsworth get to hang out with his wife and kid in real life. Wasn't that their actual kid, too?
Wait, that was his wife?
That's his wife.
That blonde woman is his wife?
The chick from
Fast. I'm so jealous of him for more than one reason.
Dude, that's his actual wife. You didn't know that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that's one of their real kids in the movie.
Well, I mean, Chris, look, he's a lucky guy. That's all I'm saying. He's a lucky guy. Jeez
Louise. Chris Hemsworth is a beautiful man.
He is a beautiful. Said that. No, it's funny. I said that. I just started a show, as you guys know, and I was in the kitchen, and we were talking about 12 Strong, and I'm like, look, Chris Hemsworth, he's a beautiful man. And the guy in the corner stirring tea is like, you're fucking A, he is.
Oh, my God.
He likes stirring his tea. And I'm like, see what I mean? Like, no, he is an exceptionally beautiful guy. Like, I can say that.
He's a good-looking dude.
He's a good-looking dude. Yeah, but, I mean, boy, he's a huge lucky guy. But he's one of the brightest stars in this movie, for sure.
Would you say he's got it?
Nick, I'd say he's got it. I think he's never going to lose it. I mean... So the saying goodbye to the families, and I like the comment about the Nickelback concert.
Yeah, I just got back from the Nickelback
Which concert. Is weird, because Nickelback wasn't a joke back then.
No, they were actually like a giant band. Yeah.
They were the biggest band in the world when that happened. They make a joke about, oh, you guys are going here? Like, oh, we're going to a Nickelback concert. Like, but why is that a joke? If that would be a joke today. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't have been a joke then. So
maybe it was a real joke then too. I don't know.
No, you shut your mouth.
It could have been. All right, one thing about that little scene that they have about the Nickelback concert, they actually start busting on the one guy who's been in Afghanistan for the past couple of months before everybody else showed up.
Oh right,
and he's got like this long flowing blonde hair, and they make fun of him the entire movie. Like after gunfights, they make fun of him, like all this stuff, and it's actually a recurring theme. Which I could see a bunch of dudes that were friends, like after you just went through something extraordinarily stressful, be like, "Look at your flowing locks."
I love how the one guy pulls up he pulls up a picture of a woman. He's like, "Is this you?"
it's like a shampoo commercial or a shampoo advertisement in like a Sports Illustrated.
That's another thing about this movie that was so good. Camaraderie between the characters.
Oh, I didn't disbelieve they were like super close knit unit of guys.
No, I'd have bought those guys. They could have went to war together. Yeah. I'd have bought that.
Yeah, I mean look, those special ops guys, they really could kick ass. I believe that they all did what they did. And look, spoilers, you should know. I mean, I'm by the amount that made it back. Those guys are heavy duty combat soldiers. Yeah, like. When they, go out, they go out. And I thought the letter was a nice touch. What'd you guys think about that? It almost ruined it for me because it took away the drama of, is Hemsworth going to make it back?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's got to. He's not writing the letter, so he has to make it back.
And I actually made a quote, the quote from the movie, where he says, I made her a promise. I ain't writing a letter telling her.
Breaking it. Yeah,
right. I'm not going to write her a letter telling her I'm breaking her a promise.
Look, I want to put you guys in a situation. You guys are going away to war. Same situation. Do you write the letter or not?
I got a wife and kid. I'm writing the letter.
That's okay, fine.
I'd have it written already. I wouldn't be like flying to Afghanistan writing it. I'd have it wrote, ready to go.
Fair? Okay. Nick?
I think I'll just have like a nice picture of my face and I'll sign it. And just...
I'll be honest with you, man. That's going to be a tough pull. Might not have the same real life... stick to the heart sort of thing.
Why couldn't you just tell us
that? That was like one of my contests. Like, I liked it, the fact that he didn't write it, but also, again, it took away all the... Oh, he's definitely going to make it back. He's going to make it back because he's got to tell... Because as couples, they were the main focus as well. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, especially when they're laying in bed at night before you take the night. And then she's like, are you going to come back? And he's like, I can't. I can't make that promise. Yeah. It's funny how he can't make the promise to her, but then he does, mm-hmm. and then the letter would be a promise saying, how would I think about that? Is he doesn't make the promise verbally, but he won't do it on letter or paper. I had it in my head, but obviously.
Would you have preferred that he died?
All right, man. No.
No, well, I mean, that's the question I pose to you, okay? Because in my eyes, him not writing a letter does not guarantee you that he survives, mm-hmm. okay?
Well, it does. It does.
But no.
For a main character, it does, because then they don't get to say goodbye to their wife.
Main characters die all the time.
Yeah, but they also write letters in that situation.
No, apparently they don't.
him talking about this promise was a reoccurring theme in the movie.
They do bring it up multiple times, in multiple situations with mm-hmm. other people.
And I mean, I don't want to get my army lingo out of style, because
I would have almost preferred that, like, what didn't happen was none of the guys were, like, scared of not coming back. Now, I understand mm-hmm. they're very trained ass kickers. I get that. I do. But, I mean, human instinct does still kick in. Like, well, guys, we have to... Because that last attack they did, the odds were not good. No. Like, very bad.
Well, one thing to chime in about that, too, is they established very early on that Hemsworth is the captain of an elite team that has been together for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he, having been with them for a couple of years already, had never taken them to combat where they had already been to combat. He was the newest person in that little group.
Yeah.
So, and they actually make, they establish that early on that he might be the weak link of that group for mm-hmm. the combat. They all have in-country combat experience except for him.
Yeah, but Michael Shannon takes that, his character... takes the fear out of the audience that, does he know what he's talking about? Well, yes, he does. If he tells the higher up who's making the decision, if you think he's a bad commander, you haven't spent much time with him.
Yeah, like,
it's just that simple.
Exactly. Well, no, though, I mean that. I don't even think that plays into that same sort of scenario, though. That just means that Michael Shannon trusts him in my mm-hmm. eyes. I don't know if it helps him combat experience wise.
Yeah, but but his testimony there is also for us, the audience, as well, to know that. Okay, maybe he does know what he's doing. Yeah. It takes all doubt away from me that he's going to screw up in the field.
Yeah.
So.
And there was, when he meets the warlord, he talks about his eyes. Mm-hmm. Killer eyes.
Doesn't have killer eyes.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I will say I like that. That goes along with soldiers versus warriors.
Mm-hmm.
When, I forget the circumstance that they bring it up, but it actually a warlord that says, General Dostum says, there's a difference... you Americans are soldiers, my guys are warriors. Because, like, his guys attack with their heart when Americans yep. attack with, like, strategy and, like, thinking it through. And I like that distinction.
They're told how to attack and what
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important distinction, especially when you're mindless soldiers versus, you know, passionate warriors. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, that was one of the few times he didn't have anything to say. And that's what I liked about that is it kind of kicked him back on his heels for a second, and he had to think about that. And then, of course... he earned his killer eyes mm-hmm. and he earned his warrior status, which was cool, I thought.
I mean, I thought that was pretty pretty decent how they did that, too. You know, they built this relationship between Chris Hemsworth's character and General...
Dostum.
Yeah.
Dostum. 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 Sorry. Dostum. Sorry.
They do build quite a dynamic throughout the movie, so it was actually pretty neat when they touch on that at the end, too, about mm-hmm. how it all plays out.
Yeah.
So without spoiling it, but... it is a nice thing that they do between them. There are definitely times where it's a little bit trying. Like, there's a point in the movie where, like, you don't know which way that's going, and it all comes out to be redeemed in the end, which is great. It definitely balances out part of the film, so it was actually very nice to see that play that way.
I really enjoyed when, when they get the horses, and they're like, Chris Hemsworth says, has anyone rode a horse before? And they're just, like, standing there, like,
these big ass.
Yeah. So just me.
Yeah. Yep.
Michael Shannon's on the horse and gets off the horse because, like, his butt is so sore.
Oh, yeah. No, like, literally, he's hurt so bad because he's significantly older than everybody else in the group, and he's got, like, a slip disc in his back from riding a horse for 3 or 4 days. It's kind of funny that they play off on that. So
I did enjoy... Oh, the walkie conversations between General Dostum and... the guy he's trying to kill. Rossi. I thought those were pretty funny because they were enemies. And hey, the Americans are here to kill you. Make a noise so they can identify you. And then you hear them walk,
stupid American. they start like shit-talking them through the walkie-talkie. That's hilarious. Like, why would you even answer that?
Yeah.
He literally tells them they're going to drop, they want to bomb you, and they start mother-effing him on the walkie, which is great.
I thought that was pretty clever. I mean, that has to be pretty, I would imagine it's pretty true.
Yeah. I assume that it has to be at least something similar to that.
Yeah.
Of course. Of course, of course.
There was one, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm not going to, I hope, but there's a scene where there's just this horse running through the battlefield. And I thought it was very interesting. I actually really enjoyed it. You know, what was that? It obviously stood for something. You know, it was symbolism at its best. What do you think that horse stood for?
Oh, there's a lot of symbolism for other stuff in this movie, too. So
that's actually a pretty pivotal moment.
Yeah.
So I don't want to answer that on the plot. I don't want to root it for people.
Or at least what I would say would be spoilery. So, but it definitely does. I know the scene that you're talking to, and it definitely has context for this film. But, you know, whenever, you know, if you're listening to it, if you do see it, you'll understand exactly what Nick is bringing up. It's not shrouded in a great mystery. At least it wasn't to me. So, I mean, and the way that I look at some of the symbolism in this movie is you can tell that somebody pushed really hard to get this movie made, and they had been for a while. So when it got made, they wanted to make sure that it got its story across the very best that it could.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of this stuff becoming declassified as it ages on actually helps out a lot. But it was nice to see, like, a true story from, you know, perspective with people that were actually involved in it, that are actually now involved in Hollywood, they get to add a little bit to that.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, I wasn't super familiar with this story, but overall, you know, it made me care about some, you know, group of guys that I had never heard about before.
Yeah.
So I think that's the way that I look at it. Is, you know, this movie's got some problems. You know, it definitely does. Like I said, Chris Hemsworth is by far the best part of this movie.
Which is unfortunate.
It is. It could have.
The fact that it's Chris Hemsworth, but the fact that, like, there could have been other.
There are other actors in here that could have shined more.
Yeah. I like Michael Pena, but his character was comic relief, basically.
It was, I thought, below him.
Yeah.
Below Michael Pena as an actor. I thought there was no reason that had to be someone. Like, he's probably one of the bigger, like, non leads.
Mm hmm.
Like, guys, just not a lead, but, like, known by everybody.
Yeah.
Probably one of the bigger ones.
Yeah.
I don't know why that had to be as big as Michael Pena. So.
Well, I think maybe, though, in that case, you put in somebody who will get some more attention for that kind of role. You know, it's not like you put somebody like me in there and just be like, hey, here's a one-liner.
Well, no, I get that. But I mean, he was in Shooter. It's like, I mean, he's kind of, he doesn't say he has a background, but like he has background in that kind of
role.
In that kind of role, you know, very militaristic.
He's a good supporting actor.
Yeah.
Guy. I wouldn't have been surprised if the guy who's playing is similar to that. I mean, I guess I don't know.
Fair.
That's true. I didn't even look at it.
If you
that
put
way.
It as, you know, part of this is a true story, some of those could be fairly close representations of actual conversations that happen. I'm sure at least now for the way that they banter with each other literally off and on all movies, some of that has to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Do you think the guy with the long flowing blonde locks, do you think that was part?
I guarantee that's part of it.
I could see that.
You wouldn't make that up. No.
Exactly.
Because you'd be like, and then there's this guy, and he's got to have long hair, and this, we made fun of him the entire time.
Matter of fact, we still make fun of him.
I still call him up.
I saw you on TV. It was you or Hi-Hi Klum. Who was that?
This is exactly what it is. I guarantee you that's real.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's real.
And you do get kind of after the movie's over, you get kind of those titles
recap.
That come up.
Yeah. You get a recap of what actually went down, a photo of the whole team and everything.
Fill you in a little bit of what happened after and stuff. So, I mean, I did enjoy the hell out of this movie. It's very enjoyable from start to finish. As far as other military dramas, I don't think it ranks with some of the better ones, though.
No, it wouldn't be in the top 10 or 15.
No.
No. But, I mean, when you look at things like that, is, you know, military movies are something that have been around for a long, 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 long time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and there are levels, every generation has, like, its defining military movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fair to say, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, once every five or, maybe more than that, maybe once every 10 years or so, you get.
Even the World War II era, there was, like, a movie of the week that was I mean, that was such a popular... I mean, Audie Murphy made tons of them.
Yeah.
And he was an actual returning soldier from World War II.
Yeah.
Tons of them. But, I mean, yeah, you're right. Every era has them because they all had their wars.
Mm-hmm.
That
all have stories to tell from a violent war.
Very violent war, yeah.
I mean, you don't get a whole lot of those war comedies anymore. I mean, we don't pull a whole lot of that.
But I do feel, I mean, on what kind of a political note, I do feel good that, like, guys like that are protecting my interests, and those guys mm-hmm. are.
Feels good to, you know, tell a story about how they actually should be deserve some credit for that stuff.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
That I'm totally okay with.
That's what I'm saying. It's like I'm glad that they're that, like their
that's
names.
That's the team that we sent. Yeah. Now that we know their names, absolutely.
Yeah, no, they're ass kickers. You know, they do my work for me.
That's right. Teamwork, baby. Yep. Teamwork.
I mean, I could have been the captain. I wasn't available.
No, you passed.
I was also this tall.
On the Hemsworth role.
I stubbed my toe, and I couldn't make it.
They didn't even ask me to read. I was just...
Roger was pretty upset.
I kind of felt like they didn't care.
What are some of the military dramas you guys liked over the years?
Apocalypse Now. Platoon.
Oh, yeah. Those are both...
Full Metal Jacket.
FMJ, of course, yeah. What about you, Raj?
Well, me and Nick had talked a little bit about when you were setting up that Full Metal Jacket's one that I always look back for as a military drama, but it's not all just a drama.
Mm-hmm.
There are some real moments in the first 40 minutes of Full Metal Jacket where if you don't just laugh hysterically.
Of course. Yeah. Well, that's what they're there for.
Well, no, exactly. But, I mean, when it comes down to military dramas for me, there is one that just stands out above all for me. It will always be Saving Private Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
The story that gets told throughout that movie of incredible violence and all the stuff they go through to save this one dude who eventually you find out is the guy telling the story, you know, on the beaches of Normandy, you know, so many years later to his family who had no idea what's going on. That, to me, is about as good of a military drama movie that you can make. Yeah. Obviously, this should not be a shocker that it's a really good movie because it's Saving Private Ryan. It won all kinds of awards and it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you should 100% see it.
Oh, yeah.
So. That's not new shocking revelations.
I've often thought, one time a professor asked me, Saving Private Ryan, no Tom Hanks. What do you think? I mean, like, what do you think is in, would it have been as famous? Or would it have been well received? What if you would have used someone else?
Who would you use?
Well, in 98, who else was there?
Either. Okay, so let me just, I'll counterpose that question. If it's not Tom Hanks, is the role the same?
No.
Are the lines the same?
No.
No, they're not. Okay.
The script may have been the same.
Okay, well, that's what I mean. It's,
but the lines wouldn't
have
been
the script
same.
Wouldn't change? I don't know, probably. And you didn't have to have Tom Hanks in that role. Mm-hmm. Having Tom Hanks in that role definitely helps.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not the best part of that movie, not to me.
He's one of them.
I mean, I don't know. There's tons of stuff. Like, there's like characters in that movie, they all fit together. That's a giant mm-hmm. piece of the puzzle, man.
Yeah.
There are so many little ins and outs of that movie that make it what it is. Now, having Tom Hanks, who was nominated for many, many awards for this movie, definitely helped. But, like, my favorite character, that is Barry Pepper, the crazy sniper, who just shoots people in the face and then just goes to sleep. And they all, I mean, it's so much they actually talk about how he doesn't care about killing everybody because he's good with it. Like, it's those little things.
Well, no one can figure it out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because they all have their...
Mm-hmm.
They're ghosts that they live with every
yeah.
night. I mean, it's...
And that's what's brilliant about that movie is you learn these guys' past story, past... You know,
oh, they're soldiers.
They're telling stories.
It's just, it's war.
Yeah.
War is ugly, man. It's
but
you're finding
terrible.
Saving Private Ryan, part of it was about finding the humanity in
yeah.
that horrible, horrible, you know, event. That
there is a lot of that in that movie. The we need to do this so we don't seem like savage monsters the whole time.
You know what I liked? And I don't know if you've seen it, but it's called Saints and Soldiers. The first one, there's been several Saints and Soldiers subtitle,
okay.
But like the first one I thought was pretty good. It's a good little movie. Ryan Little made it, but it's you should definitely check that out if you like Saving Private Ryan. Check
okay,
that out.
I'll check it out.
It's always on Netflix or Amazon.
So there's a few of them?
There's a few of them, but only the first one's any good. The Airborne Cree is not good. The Void of Disaster is not.
Okay.
But definitely check out the first one.
What about you, military drama-wise? Anything else that we didn't touch on already?
Well, I like Saving Private Ryan, and I like yours a lot, of course. When I think about military drama, I try to think about ones that move me in a way that, especially I was going to bring up Saints and Soldiers, actually,
mm-hmm.
is, I mean, it's these guys making through this horrible ordeal, and they did it because a German helped them. And it kind of changes the way they looked at, you know, just because he's in a different uniform doesn't mean he's different than us. He's just on a different side. You know, I mean, it's one of my favorite lines in there is, if you want to hate him, you go ahead and hate him, but they're the same as us, just wearing a different uniform. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a great line. It's, you know, it's
mostly true.
Yeah. It is true. I mean, look, I mean, not all the German soldiers were Nazis, and that's one thing in that movie they make very careful to, like, they're just soldiers carrying out orders, same as us, you know.
A bunch of dudes off the street being told what to do.
I mean, it's patriotism in a different way.
It's not in a different way. It's the same way. Just, true. Well, it's exactly the same.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not the ones making decisions. You know, they got pulled off. I used to milk a cow all day. Now I carry a gun. And well, I mean, it's the same thing that happened for, you know, millions of people over here. Yeah. You know, you got up every morning and you went and did your chores, and now you're going across on a boat to go shoot some Nazis. That's exactly what it is.
For free. You're going on a world trip for free.
That's right. It's exactly
what it is. They put a gun in your hand.
A couple, I had a couple other ones written down other than drama, but In the Army Now, Pauly Shore.
Delta Force? No, I'm totally kidding. That movie is garbage.
It really is garbage.
Please don't bring that up again. Garbage.
Tropic Thunder. Not really a war movie, but...
No, but that's got
I will always laugh at Tropic Thunder. Yeah. That's a brilliant movie.
Yeah. Tropic Thunder had deeper things going on than just a comedy. Which, I want people to walk away from Tropic Thunder with that. There was a lot of really brilliant stuff in there. Tropic Thunder is funny.
A couple documentaries. Korngal. And Restrepo.
I've seen Restrepo.
They're both on Netflix, I believe. They might not be anymore, but when I watched them, they were
Still going down that Netflix rabbit hole. You said you were never going back.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome back, Nick. Welcome back.
I just finished Black Mirror the other day, the fourth season, and the end of the fucking world.
You're never hanging it up, man. I know. You're Netflix forever now.
Netflix is good, though. It's fun.
But yeah, Restrepo and Korngal. Two fantastic documentaries about, real Marines, you know,
real stories.
Yeah, living in this shitty place where it's basically the ass end of hell, and they're getting fired upon every day in and out. Like, it's just amazing. I think they're guarding like one of the worst roads in Afghanistan or something. But yeah, two great docs. You should look up.
Well, talking about something that's not really a doc, but definitely has the same kind of vibe, the whole Band of Brothers series.
Oh, yeah.
Band
of Brothers is great. We know it wasn't as great, but the Pacific.
Pacific was not. Well, I think they tried too hard. They had stories that they wanted to tell over, like, famous people doing, or, you know, people that were legendary for doing the things they did. And it just wasn't as well made as that. So, here's the thing. If Band of Brothers had never been made, Pacific would have been great.
That's true.
I that's how I look at it. Is Band of Brothers is just so amazing for also what
the war in Europe was more is as far as people studying it is more popular than the war in the Pacific.
Yeah, it's more popularized than that.
What about Pearl Harbor?
Michael Bay, Jim. Oh,
man,
look, I love Pearl Harbor. I mean, I love anything Michael Bay does. I really do. I understand that guy gets a lot of hate, but Pearl Harbor is not as bad as everyone gives it. It was written by Randall Wall, same guy who wrote Braveheart. Mm-hmm. Like,
wow.
I mean, it's not. I bet you it's been a while since you've seen Pearl Harbor. I'm willing to bet.
I bet it has, because I'm not pulling it off the shelf to pop it in the DVD player, buddy.
Like, not even the next 3 weeks you're going to do that.
No, not once.
Fair, man.
Especially now, because you ask. I'm not doing that at all. The thing about military drama, you said, you got Braveheart.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite of all time.
That's as military drama as you get. Patriot's a good movie. Movie.
What'd you say?
The Patriot.
Oh, God. See, though, I mean, that's a movie I'll watch. Mm-hmm. I find that movie very enjoyable.
It's enjoyable. It's just bad.
I don't know. And then what's the last one that I've just seen fairly recently? Oh, Hacksaw Ridge with Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
Love that movie.
I love Hacksaw. I got it on my phone. Yeah, I love Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, I think it's a very good movie. I mean, there's a ton of good military dramas. It's hard to put out like one that's based on true story that actually ends up bad. Because most people try to make sure that those stories get told correctly in an entertaining way.
You know what movie I wasn't a fan of? The Act of Valor. That one that was shot in, like, those low-end cameras that looked like it was a video, not... Like, it wasn't treated like the film treatment.
Like if me and you made a movie.
Yeah, I mean...
An Act of Valor.
They shot it for something like $2.5 million and ended up making, like, $107 million, and... Yeah, it's just... I'm not a big fan of those... Only because there wasn't really much of a movie there.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like just SEALs doing cool stuff.
Well, is that the one that was made by the actual SEALs, right? Okay, I do know what you're talking about.
Hmm.
I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it was a story. It was a movie, but like, it wasn't much of one. It was just like, it was like a whole like publicity stunt, I think, for like, look how cool we are, which is nothing wrong with that, but
well, you know, good for them. Yeah. Make some money. Deserves to make some money for.
And one just real quick before we get to the Clark Hayes, one segment I want to reintroduce is the recommendations. So like the streaming recommendations, and just to start us off, I recommend we each take a turn. So next week will be yours or yours, and then we'll. But I try to keep it topical. This week's going to be Man Down. I saw it on Netflix. No, Amazon. It's on Amazon if you have Amazon. It's Shia LaBeouf is a soldier that's returning home from, and he can't get a grip on being back here.
So
and
some PTSD, huh?
Major PTSD. Yeah. And I loved the movie up until the last 3 minutes. And then I was just like, are you kidding me?
Damn.
How is this happening? That's what I did by extension, like last 15 minutes when everything really starts to go downhill, I love the movie up until then. Because there's like one of those moments where like, oh my God, that's what they were showing us in the beginning. You know, the
movie's yeah.
One of those revelations comes flying back, huh?
Full Man Down from 2012, Shia LaBeouf. That's the reason I watched it. I was like, that's Shia on that picture? I want to watch that. And I ended up loving it. So, and that brings us to the Clark Hayes. Brothers from 2009, Jim Sheridan. One brother, as you can tell, the title, two brothers. One brother goes off to war. The other is kind of he's a disaster, never lived up to his potential. And when one brother is declared dead, the other brother, with the intent on moving in to help his brother's wife with his kids, with her kids, ends up falling for her, and the kids really bond to him. And then when he makes it, and then when the other brother makes it back, he is unable to... He's unable to like
live with
be
himself.
Back in civilized world again.
So wait, he wasn't actually dead?
No. Toby Maguire, Jake Gyllenhaal, Natalie Portman. Toby Maguire is the brother that goes over and his chopper is shot down, declared dead. And Jake Gyllenhaal is the brother that stays and it's kind of a mess.
This is Pearl Harbor.
No.
Oh,
I just said it's brothers. 2009. Jim Sheridan.
This is much better than Pearl Harbor.
I haven't seen it.
Was I describing Pearl Harbor? Two
I mean,
brothers?
Kind of you were if you were like idiot friends instead of two brothers. And one goes off to be a hero, the other one stays home to bang his girlfriend and then knocks her up and then that happens.
Right. It's very similar plot-wise.
Oh, God.
You never even crossed your mind, did it?
Not until you said it. I was like, why is he? Oh, my God, he's right. First reason, Jim Sheridan.
This Brothers might be a great movie. I'm just making fun of it for no reason at all.
It's actually on streaming right now. You can check it out. I just saw it recently on streaming. Jim Sheridan, he did one of my favorite movies of all time, In America, which I think is one of the best movies I've ever seen. He also did this one. And this is maybe the best of Tobey Maguire.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Have you seen Brothers?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, good. You've not seen Brothers.
I have not. I will check it
out.
I
think this is the best of Tobey Maguire, hands down.
It definitely made it. It actually surprises me that
he did that.
He didn't get a lot of fire for He didn't get more roles from that movie. You know what I'm saying?
It could also have been he just didn't want it.
Yeah, that's true.
And the ending is. The ending is what I love. Is there's a climactic scene where he's got a gun and there's cops there, but they don't want to arrest him because he's a local war hero who's coming back. He's been through hell and they don't want to put him. And then he has a gun and it's just it all caps so nicely. And then the immense cool down. And then the last line of the movie is only the dead have seen the end of war. Can I live again? Meaning he died and now. Can he come back and rejoin his family? Like, I just think it's a wonderful line to end on. It's one of the best. So, Brothers 2009, Jim Sheridan, check that out.
Definitely.
You guys don't add a comment?
I'll definitely
check it out. I've never seen that.
Definitely
so.
Enjoyable movie.
It's on streaming, so you can check that out easily as well. So
pull the heartstrings a little bit, I'm not going to lie.
And U2 does a song for that, too. U2 does one of those songs.
And it's a wonderful song.
Winter, I think it's called. Yeah. And there's a song on the soundtrack. It's called Homecoming. It's in the beginning of the movie, and then when he comes back, and then when things are good, it plays a key points in the movie, and then the very end, and it's a wonderful. It's maybe the best track to play for a soldier coming back from war, coming, you know, to a nice peaceful homeland again. Like, it's a wonderful track, so check that out. Thank you for listening to our long-winded episode. My name is Grayson Maxwell. You can catch me at GraysonMaxwell1 on Twitter.
Nick Morris at NMorris76, 1776. Wow.
Why do you always mess up your Twitter name?
I don't know.
That's... Never mind. and I'm at Rog Stillion, ROGSTILLION.
The show can be, you can follow the show at Love Cinema Pod. And check out the very new created Facebook page. We try to do one or two posts a day just to stimulate your mind. We put trailers up or, you know, we're going to get to the point where we ask questions up there. We post trailers. The episodes are both posted up there. Check it out. You might find some content you like. The show can be, it's iTunes. You can set it to automatic download or Podbean or Google Play if you're an Android user. And thanks very much for listening.